Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's got the receipts, ladies and gentlemen. I'm probably in some of those receipts, I'd imagine. I don't know, Andy. You were a big Jaylen Brown fan, so you probably weren't. But
oh, Tatum's got a lot of receipts for me, though.
Okay, well, there you go. So there's receipts for everybody, I'd say. And listen, you win, you get to keep the receipts. However, the one part of that I would take even a small, tiny, tiny, tiny little bit of issue with is staying the course. Did you really stay the course? Like, is Marcus Smart here? You know, like, did you stay that course, or did you upgrade a lot of things around these two players instead of splitting up those two players? Because if you're just talking about the course of those two guys,
yeah,
then yes, they stayed the course. But that's a very different looking team than the one that lost to Golden State, than the one that lost to Miami those two times. Like, it's not the part of what I think catapulted them into this space that they are right now was the fact that they didn't just go run it back and stay the course with Marcus Smart and some of those other players. They upgraded them, and they ended up, I think, really benefiting from that.
Yeah, I think he was specifically talking about those two being the foundational pillars of the Celtics roster, the organization, the team, and building around them rather than picking one of them, which it was a foregone conclusion to everybody not named Andy Hart that if you were picking one, you were picking Tatum and you were trading Jaylen Brown. And I can remember, I keep receipts because I can remember Scal on NBC Sports Boston openly talking about trading Jaylen Brown, which to me, for that network, the way they handle things and are very Homer-centric in their coverage.
It was a big statement.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Definitely.
So if I'm Jaylen Brown, I'm keeping receipts even on people that are kind of probably on the team bus and the team plane or however they do it in that league.
Kendrick Perkins is excommunicated from the Celtics for all the receipts they have on him, and he's doubling down. He's like, yeah, no one's afraid of the Celtics. Everyone's afraid of the Celtics. Entire league is terrified of the Celtics right now.
I would also argue, when you can't finish your own answer without chuckling, you don't believe your own crap. And there's a little bit of that. We have a championship relationship. That's basically the, what are they going to say now, a different version of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, in my opinion,
I thought that was a good answer.
Oh, I think it's a fine answer.
Yeah.
But when you chuckle, you're telling me it hasn't always been roses. It hasn't always been perfect. We're not best buddies. However you want to read between those lines and those chuckles, when he chuckles like that, because they got the hammer now, because they won.
Yep.
So they're on top. It's a little bit like David Price, right? He won. So you have leverage, you have hammer, whatever you want to call it. But don't tell me there weren't bumps along the way. Don't tell me there weren't questions along the way. Don't tell me there weren't ego issues along the way when maybe Jason Tatum was calling Brad Stevens and you weren't involved in the conversation and you're like, wait, am I part of this or am I not part of this? Or is that's a need to know only and I'm not one that needs to know kind of thing?
And these are two players who were baptized in drama with Kyrie Irving. I mean,
correct,
that was their first years here. That was their introduction to the NBA, was the Kyrie Irving at his most Kyrie Irving, like, you know, out of his mind, like Kyrie Irving experience. So I think that there's something to be said for that too. Like, these are guys who sort of in learning about what the league is like and what superstars are and how to behave and sort of all that stuff were basically taken under the wing of Kyrie Irving, which it's amazing that they made it out of that.
And by extension, they knew exactly what happened to Isaiah Thomas.
Right.
When Isaiah Thomas was the most popular Celtic, he was the talk of the town, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was the centerpiece. He was scoring late. It was fun, right? And then gone.
Yeah.
Right. Like, he was most favored.
Isaiah played with Jaylen Brown his rookie year, and then that was it. He never played with Tatum, I don't think.
So,
right. Yeah.
But he's aware of it.
Yep.
Like, you can't not be aware, like, wait, that guy was the star. And,
sure.
And then you kicked his ass out of town after kind of riding him when he probably shouldn't even have been playing. Like, I bet you there was some.
Well, they didn't send him to Siberia. There's a lot of weird.
They sent him to play with LeBron. Like,
with
I'm not going to shed tears for him.
I know. Like, do people act
after
like they
ripped one of the wheels off? They sent him as a freaking three-legged car.
Well, okay. So it's better if he played here with on one leg and no hip or whatever.
The damage was done, my friend.
I agree. He was injured. He was damaged goods, and that's maybe a problem for the Cleveland Cavaliers. But
you don't think that was
a big issue for the Celtics?
I know
Anthony Davis and all them. Yeah, I mean. Listen, it's something that happens. It's the NBA. It's not like it's the first time you've ever traded your best player on a team that was sort of a fringe playoff team, which is what they were. And
but
I think
don't
that
pretend
you know,
you can't go from beloved to gone.
Sure.
And I think they saw that.
I think that's fair. Okay,
doesn't mean
sure.
they thought it was dirty pool necessarily, just harsh reality.
Anthony Davis's father, you remember? He's like, I don't like the way that they treated Isaiah Thomas, and I don't want my son going there. And it's like, okay, Anthony Davis's father, that's weird. But, like, yeah, it's not like they traded him to Detroit or cut him or sent him to the G League or something. They traded him to Cleveland to go play with LeBron. I thought he ended up having, as far as all that go, for a banged-up, undersized guard, I thought that was about as good a spot as you could send him. You know, like, that was a team that was competing for championships. The Celtics weren't competing for championships. They were getting smoked by Cleveland. That's what was going on back then in 2016, 2017, whenever that was. So, I don't know. I mean, and that's, again, another era of this team before the Brown and Tatum era began. And I just think that watching it sort of plateau, I guess is the way I'd look at it, where they started from and sort of how it just plateaued at the conference finals with that dip up for the championship, that one championship that they lost against Golden State. And it just sort of seemed like they were on pace to be like the Pacers in the 90s, you know? Like, they'd get there, they could even make it to an NBA finals or two, but there was always going to be Shaq and Kobe there to beat them, or there was always going to be the Jordan's Bulls that beat them in the 90s, or whoever it was. Like, they're good enough to get there, and everybody knows that Reggie Miller's a great player, and Rick Smith was a great player and all that, but they just weren't good enough to beat the great teams. And it seemed like that's where they were going. And it's just, I'd say you have to give a lot of credit to Brad Stevens, first of all, for having the wherewithal to make the moves that he made. That Jrue Holiday trade was brilliant. And also Wick Grosbeck for bankrolling it, and really for Irv Grosbeck for bankrolling him. So that's what it took. But it was necessary, and it worked. I mean, it really worked.
So you started the show, we started talking about the Celtics and what could derail them, and injuries is the obvious one.
It's the main one. I think that's the only one.
Is this story totally put to bed?
I say so, yeah.
Brown and Tatum. You don't think there's any way there could ever be a resurgence of, huh?
Oh, no way could it
egos.
I think right now it's
ball
to bed.
Dominance.
Anything could happen. Some could pop back
it's basketball,
up. Sure, yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Basketball is inherently
these guys
a soap
are all
opera.
Still very sensitive to outside noise, too. So, you know, it's only going to take a couple of weeks of Stephen A. Smith and whoever else saying, hey, you know, I think Jaylen Brown may be passing Jason Tatum, and all of a sudden this is back up in a topic again. We'll see if it actually affects the locker room. I kind of think it won't. You know, I think at this point it's really sort of, hey, you know what, let's just all share the wealth.
Well, that's jump with the camera like. On me, please.
Okay.
I actually think the only way it will rear its ugly head again is kind of the opposite of what we're talking about with the Patriots. If there's a losing streak.
Right.
If there's a losing streak and suddenly the Celtics have lost 4 out of 6 and 6 out of 8 and like there's this, huh, what the hell's going on there?
Right.
I think that tends to fester and feed these types of soap opera issues, ego issues, locker room issues, ball issues. But if they win the way, A, they're supposed to, but B, I think everybody just flat out expects them to.
Sure.
I think that squashes those things. It's hard. You got to be a special kind of a-hole to really pursue those things if you're on pace to win, I don't know, their number's 58.5. If you're on pace to win 55 to 60 games and there's this festering thing going on, you got issues.
Yeah.
You got problems.
The only thing that could really do it is if they take a big step back defensively or shooting three-pointers, because that's what this team is. It's a 3-and-D team.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.